RadioInfluence.com. This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
What did you know and when did you know it? That's the question that undoubtedly is being asked of Urban Meyer today. Welcome to this Thursday, August 2nd edition of the Landry Football Podcast. It's been a long and very eventful last 24 hours. We're going to spend, folks, we got a lot of things to talk about. We were going to get to some looking at the Pac-12 and looking at the AFC North, and got a bunch of really good questions we want to get to. I don't know that we're going to get to any of that today. We'll see, time permitting. We've got a good member of the show that we're excited to tell you about as well, member of the Landry Football podcast family. But we're going to talk about the Ohio State situation. We're going to try to answer some of the questions that are out there. We're going to try to touch on the things that are really pertinent. You know, full disclosure, I've known Urban for years. First met him when he was a graduate assistant coach at Ohio State. I was on the staff at LSU. We actually played Ohio State in a home-and-home. We went to Columbus 1 year, and they came to Baton Rouge 1 year. Earl Bruce was the coach that replaced Woody Hayes when he was fired after the ill-fated Charlie Ballman punch in the Gator Bowl. Earl Bruce is a mentor of Urban Meyer, someone that had a tremendous impact on Urban's life. Outside of his father, I don't know that anybody has meant more to him than Earl. Earl Bruce is tied to this whole situation as Zach Smith, the individual that is the center of this storm, of the abusive husband, is a grandson of Earl Bruce, someone that played for Urban Meyer at Bowling Green, someone that's been with Urban throughout his stops, was a young coach in Gainesville, 2009, when the first incident took place. I can remember the story of Earl Bruce driving from Columbus to Florida, to Gainesville, to meet with Courtney Smith, the wife of his grandson, to convince him, don't turn him in, we'll work through this. If you fire him, he's never going to coach again. Then you're going to be without an income, a provider, and your kids are going to be without a provider. And that's kind of began the whole process of backing what is now clearly enabling a wife abuser. It's no other way to put it. Credits, kudos to Brett McMurphy, who did a phenomenal job in this story. This was not a story that was covered in Florida. Of course, he was a young assistant coach, a graduate assistant, a quality control assistant type. But it was uncovered. These things don't often get covered by local media. Yet in Gainesville, in Oxford, in Baton Rouge, in Tuscaloosa, in Columbus, you name it, Tallahassee, Florida, the cover-up of Jameis Winston, all those things. Those things happen. They don't want to deal with it because there's a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure for people that are in the media locally. They make their money with sponsors that are big boosters of the program. You don't bite the hand that feeds you. And media guys, local beat writer guys, don't do these type of stories because they need access to the program to find out, you know, what quarterback's running third string and how is so-and-so's knee injury coming along and whether so-and-so's going to be eligible to play next week. So they don't get into this stuff. They don't bite the hand that feeds them. So it's not unusual that stories don't get picked up. But this is an old story. Don't kid yourself. This is something that has probably been a good lesson for all of us that if you don't correct something and you don't nip it in the bud, it can fester and get worse, because all that happens in a situation is that you enable someone that, hey, look, don't have to curtail my behavior. As long as, you know, I have so-and-so on my side, I'm going to be able to get away with it. And this leads to, you know, behavior that is not appropriate for society. And let me say this, that it's never been appropriate for anybody to put a hand on a woman. Not 30, 40, 50 years ago, not today. But I can tell you what's different is today, if you do it, you're going to get called out for it, and you're going to get uncovered, and your reputation is done, and you will not work again in most cases. So, call it the Me Too movement, what have you. We're seeing it. We're seeing, you know, people in public office. We're seeing it in the movie industry. People that they do something, they get caught. So, where does this really take us? We do know that there have been nine recorded domestic violence issues with Zach Smith and his wife since 2012. 6 years. More than one a year. The issue that is ultimately causing the problem for Urban Meyer in his future as a coach at Ohio State was the 2015 domestic abuse allegation, in which a police report was filed by the Powell, Ohio Police Department, which is where the Smiths lived. Urban Meyer said he knew nothing about it. He did admit to knowing that there was a problem. I mean, he admitted to he and his wife, Shelley, more on her in a bit, of trying to step in and help him. So to claim that you really didn't know anything, or to not to anybody to think, well, he didn't really know what was going on. And no, he knew, because he's told us that he knew. And I'm going to again go back to what I said. I've known Urban since the days of when he was a graduate assistant, and I've gotten to know him even better because we were young coaches coming together, a little bit older, but to the point where I made the connection with Bill Belichick, with my background with Bill and Urban coming up, in Urban's success in football, developed a good relationship. Now, that relationship frosted a little bit over the Aaron Hernandez situation. We know that at Florida, Urban had a lot of problems, and he really stood on the table for Aaron Hernandez. And Bill, you know, listen, his people did their homework. They were leery of taking Aaron. Aaron took them basically on the word of Urban Meyer, and obviously we know how that turned out. We'll get into more of that as we unravel all of this. But so I've known Urban for a while, and I like him. He's, listen, it's the same thing with Bill Belichick or Nick Saban, guys that I like a lot. They can be, in Urban's case, very arrogant. Not to me, but I've seen him act that way to others, like he's better than other people. Some of this is, you know, can be distributed to standoffish. But Urban has clearly tried to reach out and help Zach and Courtney at one point. He had a loyalty to Zach, obviously, through the Earl Bruce connection. So to totally dismiss you didn't know about this or that, did he know about the 2015 domestic abuse issues? Well, how could you not know? There was a police report. I did some investigating. We all know that Shelley Meyer knew, because there are texts that corroborate that. She's got, you know, conversations that have been basically, you know, texts that have basically followed the trail that Shelley has kept in touch with Courtney. Now, my belief is that it's with the full understanding that Shelley's communicated this with Urban, and that Urban, I think, encouraged Shelley to try to help Courtney and to try to stay on top of it. I think for the purpose of trying to help the situation, but also think in that process, his idea of help was to keep Zach employed because Urban wanted him to. It was his guy. And two, I think they genuinely felt like the best thing was, for financial reasons, to keep him employed. But I think that there were enough people that knew the history of the domestic abuse that common sense would dictate that this was not the best way to help them. The best way would be to remove her from him and do what they can to help her to separate from him instead of encouraging her to stick by him, because it would be the best in her best interest financially. I can understand how that would factor in to any woman that is involved in abuse situations. But it often doesn't get better, from what I understand, and I'm not an expert in domestic abuse. But there is loads of evidence starting to unravel that Urban had to have known. Police reports were filed. Everyone in the department knew. The coaches knew. I'll tell you about that in a second. The coaches' wives knew. That's how the coaches knew, through their wives. She had friends on the coaching staff, wives. Courtney did. They all knew. Everybody knew, but Urban, who is on top of everything in the program, didn't know. There's somebody that's responsible for making sure that he knows about an investigation of a player that's been investigated by the police. So if every player on the team, if anything that goes on with a player on the team, whether it's a minor incident or not, it's brought to the table, it's brought to the desk of Urban Meyer, but one of his assistants that is his guy, that is Earl Bruce's grandson, he's not going to know about? Does that make any sense to you? Does that make any sense to anybody? No, not anybody with a reasonable mind. Somebody trying to justify it, maybe. It's just not real. And it just didn't happen that way. How do I know? I reached out to some assistants on the staff yesterday. And again, full disclosure for people who don't know, my main function and what I do as a consultant to college programs and NFL teams, I do a lot of different things. Yes, it's draft related. Yes, it's personnel related. Yes, it is scheme and coaching related. But a big part of what I do, and those of you who have followed us in coaching search time of the year, the November, December, January stretch, know that very, very involved in a lot of coaching search work, which means what? I help college programs, NFL teams, not only with their head coaching, but their assistant coaching searches. So I work a lot with coaches, assistant coaches, head coaches, about helping assemble staffs and the evaluation process of coaches. Now, it's mostly related to the football part of it. It's trying to evaluate that. I leave it to people that know a lot more about psychological testing and criminal background investigation as to whether someone has something unseemly in their background. That's not my area. However, I do know people and have often asked, what do you know about a guy, you know, so on and so forth. And so as to why a few assistants might be willing to talk to me, one, well, I know them and they know that my word is sought in the coaching profession, and certainly potential involvement or potential knowing of a situation like this is going to come up to me, going to be asked about these guys, which, you know, I can't say anything other than, you know, they were there. I don't know what they knew. So that is a preface to the point of why they were willing to talk. They were very eager to express to me that they knew about it. They knew about it in most cases from their wives, learned about it, confronted Urban about it. I'm going to repeat that. assistant coaches confronted their head coach about Zach. A couple of them threatened to, pardon me here, kick his ass over what was going on between he and his wife. So, again, are the coaches trying to separate themselves from Urban Meyer already? Separate themselves from, hey, look, we knew, but we did what we could do. We couldn't get any movement. Perhaps. Are they telling the truth? Perhaps. I mean, the reality is some of them are talking quietly. Now, they're not going to say it publicly, but I know what they were getting at, and I know what they were trying to tell me. Hey, look, we did what we can do. Now, you know, it could go into situations. Why didn't they go to the police? Why didn't they stand up? That causes a problem, too, for coaches. That causes a, you know, he went around the head coach, he was disloyal, and that becomes difficult hire, too. It's tough for these coaches. It's tough for somebody that really wasn't involved in this. This falls on Urban Meyer. And it's tough when someone underneath Urban Meyer doesn't feel like he can survive in the coaching world if he goes around Urban Meyer and reports something that he feels that should be handled legally because it would constitute him being disloyal. It's a tough business. It's tough to get in it, and it is a lot about who you know and good recommendations. I do believe, based upon the fact that Shelly Meyer, Urban's wife, had the information, had been talking with Courtney, knew all about it, knowing Shelly and Urban and knowing how close they are with regard to his work. It is a big community, you know, we work together, we're part of the community, and she's always had input and has been very involved with coaches' wives and assistant coaches and bringing that staff together in unity and all that. It is unthinkable for me that she would keep this from him. In fact, she's been quoted as saying, I'm going to have to tell Urban, is what she told Courtney Smith. Now, did she come back and say, I told Urban, I laid it out? No. But I think it's pretty obvious she's not going to keep this from Urban. And I think this is just the way that Urban chose to handle this. Now, let's examine that for a second. You know, could Urban, someone that he cares about in Zach, try to, and Courtney, try to step in and try to help and try to help his way and try to say, why don't we try to counsel them together? Why don't we try to get them help? Why don't we try to make this work without it resulting in him losing his job? That is, to me, at least in my mind, seems plausible and admirable. Now, that's from an ignorant viewpoint of not knowing enough about how domestic abuses take place, but I could see that. But this is where I think Urban's arrogance has got himself in hot water. Instead of coming out and being honest and saying, look, we tried to help him, we tried to do this, I made a mistake. It's a bigger problem. We should have handled it in a different way, and I'm sorry. And I'm going to have to live with that. Instead, he makes a comment at Big Ten Media Day that he did not know about this incident and don't know how these stories get made up. I'm paraphrasing there. Well, that's an arrogant comment and a stupid comment because the reporter, Brett McMurphy, had the documentation. So he stepped right into it. So Urban's not as smart on the PR end of it. Urban's a smart guy. Urban's extremely successful. But the arrogance that, you know, I'm all-knowing, I can handle this, I can keep this quiet, he overstepped his bounds and he got caught. And it's likely going to cost him. Brett McMurphy had the documentation, brought it out, and has provided text messages that basically indicate that there's very little wiggle room for anyone, even with really good planning, to say, I didn't know about it. I mean, I think Urban's only issue is to come on and say, look, I tried to help. I tried to do what I thought was right. I wanted to help Courtney, Zach. I wanted to do it while he saved his job. I knew if it came out, he'd get fired. He'd never get hired again. And then where would that put Courtney? Where would that put the kids? I tried to help. I should have been more forceful. I should have done things different. I was wrong. And because I was wrong, she had to call the authorities out umpteen times. And that's on me. And I was wrong. I said at the Big Ten Media Day, I didn't know of any other situation. I should have said it differently. I should have shut down the questioning. I should have said that's being investigated. My desire to protect them clearly was wrong, because all it did is attempt to keep in the closet. Listen, I didn't want it out about the program. I didn't want this to damage our program. Come out and be honest and say, listen, I made a mistake, but you know, I want to make amends for it, and the only way I can do that is going forward. I don't know if people would buy that or accept that. I think that's the only chance he's got. Because to sit there and to try for him or someone else around him to make it plausible that everybody else knew about it, but he didn't, is laughable and only perpetuates the stereotype that his lies are catching up to him. It's been a problem. It's been a problem in the past. You know, I think that there are a number of things. The desire to cover things up has led us to where we are in this situation, and it led to the problems at Penn State and Joe Paterno. Now, it is maybe plausible to think that Joe Paterno was a little out of touch on things. He was on football things and things going around the operation as an 80-year-old. No disrespect, he was. But he knew more about what happened. There were things that went on at Penn State that he made sure were taken care of and covered up to protect his image and Penn State's football image. Now, did he know the whole details about the Sandusky situation? We'll never know that. But I think he knew more than people went on to believe. But I do think, just because of those circumstances and because of his situation, he was a little bit more out of touch. I don't buy that with Urban for a second. The cover-up caused Paterno's image posthumously to be affected. It certainly ruined Art Briles. Rick Pitino? You know, Hugh Freeze? Oh, just one call accidentally. Didn't mean it. No. You lied. He's proven to be a liar. I mean, it just the cover-up is always worse than the crime, isn't it? Doesn't it always show out that way? You've got something that I thought is very interesting. It's a couple of things that I think are intriguing. Shelly Meyer's involvement. Shelly is, for people who don't know, a nurse. She teaches at the School of Nursing at Ohio State. There's some oath that nurses take of being required to speak up in if you feel someone is in harm, domestic violation, or something along those lines. There's that just Hippocratic oath that you take. But then there's also a university Title IX issue. When you get funding from the government, you've got to adhere to certain restrictions that go along with that. Title IX is one of them. Well, Shelly Meyer, you can, if you believe that everyone else knew but Urban didn't, again, I think that's ridiculous, but if you do, there's no proof or evidence, 100% prima facie evidence that he knew it, although I think it's pretty obvious. But we know that Shelly knew, because we've got her sending texts that makes suggestive comments about what she should do, get away from him, so on and so forth. So she was well aware of it. Did Shelley report it? Because if she didn't, she's in violation of Title IX violation. So that's an issue there. Does Urban allow Shelley to take the fall for, you know, we try to do that? And I mean, how, you know, is that part of the plot to get behind from this? I just think that it's going to be really ugly. And while you might legally be able to squirm out of this, in the court of public opinion, it's already lost. I don't see how. As great as he is, and let's remind folks, there are only four people in the country with national championships that are currently coaching. Dabo Swinney and Jimbo Fisher have one. Nick Saban have six. Urban Meyer has three. So no bigger name in college football outside of Nick Saban is Urban Meyer. Great coach. But even with that, this is going to be a hard sell on the recruiting trail in the court of public opinion. Can you imagine if he does come back? And he coaches Ohio State to an unbeaten season, and they're in the national championship game. The storyline is not going to be the great season that Ohio State had, but what he didn't do and how he was enabled. I don't see a way out for Ohio State. Maybe there is one. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I've tried to figure it out. I've tried to figure out how something could be done to help Courtney Smith, how Zach Smith needs to be helped but never allowed to coach again, and then somehow Urban Meyer to learn his lesson, become less arrogant, and still keep his job and go forward. I've tried to figure out those things. I'm just not able to recognize it. I go back to the comments that Urban made when asked specifically if he knew the domestic violence incidents on Zach Smith, or if he'd been told of them. I was never told about anything. Never anything came to light. Never had a conversation about it. So I know nothing about it. I asked people back at the office to call and see what happened. They came back and said they knew nothing. Okay, we'll see. Because those people are now going to be questioned. Those people's phone records are going to be, you know, uncovered. And we'll see who's going to talk and sing now. Pretty clear that what Urban said was a lie, and to try to cover up what he did know. The other thing that I thought was very interesting is that as recently as a month ago, I am told, in addition to the language that's in the coaching contract for Urban Meyer, there was an additional language added on top of that, tying it to calling for termination with cause if Urban knowingly misleads the university or withholds information with regards to sexual misconduct, harassments, stalking, etc., while he was coaching at any institution of higher learning. Previously, currently, which means Ohio State, Florida. So, if he did not convey all the proper information about what happened in 2009 in Florida or anything that happened in Ohio State, he could be terminated for cause. Folks, follow the trail. The administration was aware of all this stuff. They were asking questions. They decided to protect themselves. Now they can go and approach Urban Meyer's attorneys and say, we've got him for termination with cause. As you know, he was put on administrative leave. He was put on administrative leave because that is the legal procedure before the termination with cause will come. That's just the legal way to do it. You can't terminate somebody. You have to put them on administrative leave with pay. Then you go through an investigation, which I don't know about the mechanics of the investigation. I don't know legally if they can do an internal one and that's sufficient, or if they had to get outside help an arbiter to look at it. Don't know about that. But once that is completed and done legally to the satisfaction of the attorneys involved representing Ohio State, then they will terminate him for cause with the reasoning for that. Then it's going to be up to Urban Meyer whether he wants to fight that. And if he does, this is where usually the buyouts come in. Hey, look, we've got it on you in a contract. We can terminate you for cause. You think that we don't have proof that would hold up in court that you did know. So, you know, we can take this to court. It could get ugly. It could cost a lot more. Or we can agree to part ways for X amount of money, which is maybe a much lower percentage of what they owe him. Pretty clear that Ohio State as a university knew enough to protect themselves in this. Pretty obvious that they did. Ryan Day was named the interim head coach. Ryan is new, just like Alex Greenwich is new on the staff. Ryan is a very bright young coach, up-and-coming guy from the Chip Kelly coaching tree, going to be a really good head coach one day. Hey, he may be a really good coach right now. I think we're going to get ready to find out this year. Why was he hired? Not because of the reasons I mentioned. He was hired because his hands, along with Alex Greenwich, new guys coming in, their hands are clean. They weren't. Not only were they not involved, not that the other assistants were involved, but they weren't aware of this. There's no history of them and Zach Smith and knowing what went on. Their hands are clean. I was told they hired Ryan for that reason. They could have gone to Greg Schiano. They could have gone to Kevin Wilson, two guys that were head coaches. Not good look. If they're going to fire him for cause or attempt to do that, they can't put Greg Schiano or Kelvin Wilson, who, not suggesting in any way that they're guilty of anything, but there were questions, character questions about Greg Schiano and what he knew or didn't know when he was at Penn State in the Jerry Sandusky days. There were questions about what Kelvin Wilson did and his mistreatment of players potentially, allegedly, at Indiana. They didn't want guys that, A, had some clout coming into the program and now maybe have some stain on them because they clearly were aware, as all coaches apparently were, of what was going on. But new guys there, their hands are clean. That's the reason why it's Ryan Day. It's illegal protection, legal maneuvering to, I think, the administration, the president, the board, to say, look, we're firing them with cause. These are the reasons, and we'll see how it plays out legally. I think that at least yesterday, give you an idea how fast I think this moved. Yesterday early, as early as yesterday morning, my sense talking with Ohio State folks, they were trying to do their best to figure this out in a way to try to save Urban Meyer. As the day moved on, it's pretty clear they were going into separation mode, termination mode. More on this in a second. Hey, I want to tell you about great member of the Landry Football Podcast family. You've got to check it out. Vivid Seats. It's an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing you, the fans of live entertainment, with experiences that last a lifetime. They offer great prices for NFL, college football games, including some of the big early season showdowns, the Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama, Louisville, you know the ones. With football returning, Landry listeners can receive 10% off their first purchase with Vivid Seats. That's right, 10% off your first purchase with Vivid Seats. Go to vividseats.com, V-I-V-I-D, seats.com, or download the podcast and enter the promo code Landry. You know it, L-A-N-D-R-Y. This is for new customers only. The offer is good through the end of August. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. You know, it's just we're just 1 month away from the return of the season. We're right here with preseason games. They want you at Vivid Seats to find your seats to the action. Whether you're a diehard college fan hoping to check out your alma mater on Saturday or that NFL fan, they want to get you to the game with tickets for a great price. They're giving the podcast listeners of this podcast an exclusive discount for that first order. So, again, go to vividseats.com or download the app. Again, from now to the end of August, you enter the promo code Landry. You get 10% off your first order. Again, new customers only, please. There's no better way to celebrate the return of football than by being there in the crowd, and Vivid Seats will help you get there. Go to Vivid Seats, enter promo code Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y, to receive 10% off your first ticket order. Again, new customers only. So what's going to happen at Ohio State? How quick is it going to happen? All the things I've been asked. Well, I think it's going to happen quickly. I think this is going to be tremendous negativity surrounding this until they hear something. So I would think it'd be quick, but not so quick that you can't dot the I's and cross the T's legally on this. Listen, this is, again, I think moved from a how do we retain him to how do we exit, the exit strategy. And you know, as I think about the addendum to the language of the contract, it pretty apparent that they were protecting themselves if it ever got to this point, hoping that it wouldn't, because what they want is Urban Meyer to be their coach. But kind of hard to sell that now. And that's where we are today, folks. I don't know, as good as Urban was, he cut himself off by some decisions or decisions that he made or didn't make. Because now I think it's going to be very tough, would be very tough for him, if not impossible, to try to coach this team. Where does it take this program? How does he, the negativity surrounding every game, every press conference, the negativity that he faces on recruiting trail. I mean, this is going to be a tough sell because now everyone's going to know it. We're in the information age. I tell coaches today all the time, guys, I didn't grow up in this era. But you better understand what era you are in now, and that's the information age. And everybody's got information on you. Everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody's got text. Everybody's got pictures. And if you do something or you're around something that was done and you think you're going to keep it quiet, you're a fool. It's coming out. It's only a matter of when, and you're lucky if it doesn't come out. But eventually, it all comes back to roost. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. It's not worse than the crime. Not reporting domestic abuse is the biggest issue. And that is for a more learned audience on how do we correct that in society than I can give. But in the football world, what's going to get you, Urban or any coach out there, is the cover-up. All you had to do was come out and say, this is what I was aware of certain situations. I'm not going to get into the details. It's under investigation. I decided this is the best way to try to handle it. It didn't work. And for that, I'm sorry. I'm mostly sorry for Courtney because I thought this was the best thing for her. I also thought it was the best thing for me in our program. I admit that. I was wrong. And I'm going to have to live with that. And now I'm going to do everything I can to help her and everyone involved to get the help that they need, the treatment that they need, the support that they need. So help me God. But I'm sorry. But, you know, that would require some humility. And some of these guys believe their press clippings. They believe they're a god. They believe because they have success that they can do no wrong, and that whatever it is that they say or do is justified because I'm successful. Well, the ends don't justify the means. They don't. Not when it's a case like this. You know, it takes some humility, but sometimes that's the toughest thing for some of these people. Let me mention this too. For the people that say, maybe Urban didn't know as much. He's a head coach. A lot of things come across his desk. Maybe it just slipped by him. He's too distracted. He was aware of it, but he didn't know all the details. Okay, if you buy that, is that any better? See, that's your responsibility as a CEO of the program. To have all the little details. A guy misses class and he's got to run steps. There are people that handle that. That's going to come across his desk. Let me explain to you how it works. Urban will be made aware of it. Now, will he remember that if he's got three guys that missed a class in summer and had to run steps? He may not remember who it was or when, but it's in his files because it is the requirement for everybody around him and working with him and support staff to let him know of that. So there is nothing he doesn't know, because you're going to get fired as a staff member if you keep something from him. So that he didn't know stuff doesn't play out. But let's just say, for if you're one of those that think, well, maybe he didn't know. Maybe he didn't know it in detail. Maybe he glossed over. Really? Well, what does that say about him if he glosses over something this significant? An assistant on his staff gets questioned by the police. There's a police report, and he doesn't know. There's no file on it. That's maybe not as bad as sticking your head in the sand. It's almost as bad. It's a sign of, you know, of not being in control of the program. Well, let me just tell you, I don't think Urban is guilty of not being on top of his program. I believe he is. I believe he made a choice to support Zach Smith, the grandson of a beloved mentor of his, over the care of his wife, because he honestly thought, I think, that it was best for everyone to try to solve it this way. And he was wrong. And I think now, probably, don't know that Urban's been around domestic abuse issues and the best way to handle it. So it's why, again, I say, if Urban had come to the forefront and said, listen, I'm a pretty good football coach. I'm pretty good at overseeing things, but I make mistakes. And I did a bad job of handling this. Now, if its mission is, I told people to investigate this, I headed up the food chain, it's in Gene Smith's hands. It's his. Well, then again, I think they're all culpable. Who knew? What and when did they know it? I think the administration knew. It's the responsibility of Urban Meyer to say, at an earlier date than he did, Zach Smith, you're gone. I believe it played out to where the administration became aware of things that Urban knew, but they weren't aware of, and they became aware of it. And this is when the added language to the contract came in. And this is when the wheels began to move to fire Zach with cause. And that's when Urban tried to get out in front of it then by firing Zach and saying, I was aware of this, I'm making a move. I think he's been very disingenuous about what he knew and when he knew it. I think Urban knew. In fact, after investigating it thoroughly, I'm 99.9% certain. I don't see a scenario why how he couldn't know. Let me put it to you that way. I want to think that he didn't know. I want to think that this was an honest mistake. I can't come up with one. Would I like to see Courtney Smith and her children get help and support, and some good come out of it? Yes. Would I like to see Zach Smith, as much as I'd like to take him by the throat and choke him to an inch of his life for beating a woman? When I calm down, I realize he's going to be a member of society and he's got to learn how to act and how to treat women. Would I like to see him get the help to where maybe he can turn around his life and maybe be an advocate to prevent situations like he was involved in? Yes, I'd like to see that. Would I like it all to be done with Urban Meyer saying, doing a mea culpa? Would I like this to be the turnaround for Urban Meyer for being someone that maybe finally learned his lesson? He's humbled now. Maybe just fall on it and say, I've it's been a humbling experience. I've made mistakes. I now realize, as a father of two girls, loving wife, I dropped the ball. It's me. She should have gotten the help earlier, and she didn't because I tried to handle it a different way. I screwed it up. I was wrong. And if I pay for it with my career and my job, I deserve it. I love the chance to go forward to be an advocate not only for Ohio State, but for, you know, helping domestic violence. You know, put foundations together, do things financially, but do things speaking-wise to show that I'm more than a football coach. Would I like to see him revive his career or continue his career with that mission and motive? Yes, I would. I would. Selfishly as a football guy, I would. Selfishly as I like Urban as a person, I would. Do I think he deserves that chance? I'm not sure that he does. In fact, I am pretty sure that he doesn't. If you go back throughout his career in Gainesville, in 6 years, he had 31 players arrested at Florida. Chris Rainey, one of his players, stalked and threatened his girlfriend. He's only suspended 4 games. He coddled Aaron Hernandez. I told you that story. Aaron Hernandez didn't become a bad person overnight. He was a bad person when he went to Gainesville. And there were a whole lot of crap that went on in Gainesville that never quite got reported and was covered up, as it is in a lot of college towns, like Columbus, like Tuscaloosa, like Baton Rouge, like Tallahassee, like Gainesville, you name it, on and on and on. A lot of things went bad. More than just mischief boys will be boys. Bad dude was Aaron Hernandez. And the seeds of the criminal, corrupt, rotten individual that he was all taking place. And Urban decided with Shelley to try to counsel him. I think there is, listen, he's a great player, and if he wasn't a great player, he wouldn't be trying to counsel him. They didn't try to counsel guys on campus that weren't football players. He's a great player. That's why they tried to counsel him. Forget it. That's the reason. But also thinks as a part of every coach that wants to help the player as well. And maybe he can make a difference. And maybe sometimes, you know, you think you get rid of a guy, kick him out of the program, then where does he go? I know that Tom Osborne felt that way about Lawrence Phillips. But sometimes you got to have a way to say, no, 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 we're going to take this away from you, but you're going to be under our jurisdiction, and you're going to have to be, in order to come back, you're going to have to do certain things. And I think he just allowed a lot of things to take place. And so 31 arrests in 6 years kind of tells you what you need to know about how the program he ran. Now, He did a much better job of it at Ohio State. Folks, they didn't have arrest after arrest. It was a cleaner run program. It was better. But when it came to someone that he had ties to, he dropped the ball. And the most important thing we need to remember is not the storyline's going to be if he loses his job. Storyline should be the story of domestic violence and how a lady clearly tried to reach out for help, talked to assistant coaches' wives, head coaches' wives, sought out help, sought out Urban Meyer through Shelley. I can't relate, but I'm told that it is very difficult, and I can imagine that it would be, for a woman to admit abuse. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. You feel alone. You don't know where to turn. All of those things are at play. What are you going to do? It does make sense logically that you report him, he gets fired. You don't have a husband who has a job. It doesn't solve the problem. I can correct him. I love him. Obviously did if you married him and you're going to have a kid by him. You love him. There's some things you liked about him. All of that comes to the forefront in some of these decisions. People who study abusive women, this is not a surprise behavior. So the people that say, well, she should have done this or did that, stop. Stop. She did everything and more that she should have. There's enough evidence. All those bruises, all the, you know, the calls. Where was the police department? They didn't find enough evidence. Why are there not stricter restraints on the restraint orders? Some things that need to be discussed by a far more intelligent individual than myself on domestic abuse issues. But that's the real story here. That a lot of people drop the ball. You know, there are a lot of people that have to be swallowing hard and have a lot of guilt. The assistant coaches that didn't speak up enough. Were the assistant coaches wives? Did they speak up enough? Were they silenced? Or did they not speak up enough? Shelley Meyer, did she do enough? Can't imagine her. If she kept this away from Urban, which is, again, not plausible because Shelley and Urban tried to counsel Zach, so clearly Urban knew that there was something there. It's often that the abuser paints the victim in a bad light. I was told repeatedly that Urban didn't know what to believe, didn't know what to do, didn't believe what, didn't know what to do about what. If you don't know anything about it, how can you have those feelings? Again, too much points at there was enough information, there was enough reaching out that it wasn't handled well. People literally dropped the ball. Literally, figuratively, dropped the ball. And so here we are. Where does this lead us? Another domestic violence issue that's going to be brought to light. Hopefully, will provide more positive changes. I would suspect that we're going to hear about Urban Meyer's future coming up. Maybe there's a shocker. Maybe there's some elaborate explanation. A Hail Mary, a magic bullet theory that saves Urban Meyer. As I said, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I think it's always difficult to think that we get here so fast. Well, it wasn't that fast. It's fast for us because this has kind of fallen to us in a rapid fashion. But this was behind the scenes in play for some time. And obviously known by people. Obviously played out poorly. Obviously covered up by people. Obviously pushed under the rug. For the good of the, we don't want something bad to come about the program. We don't want the negative publicity. Well, what about the publicity now? Has it ever been more negative? I mean, you thought Tattoo Gate was bad. You thought punching a player on the sideline was bad. And they were. That is a drop in the bucket compared to what the negative publicity is with this. Which is why I feel, as much as I would like to see this, a great coach keep his job and be involved and reform himself on how he does things. There's just, in a modern world, no way, from a PR standpoint, he could survive. No way the distractions would be so great, they'd be untenable. I think it would affect negatively. You sit there and preach to your players, don't touch a woman. You're going to be held to this standard. Discipline, go to class, do this and do that, and you don't report something. You don't act upon something. You try to cover up something. Players are smart. Folks, I speak from experience. I know these players. They talk. The lack of respect, I think, for their head coach has dropped significantly. They won't tell you that publicly to the media, but I don't think there's any doubt that they have. And I think the parents of the players have lost respect. I think he's lost respect in a lot of regards as a man and as a coach. Not his football acumen, but as a coach. And I think with that, it's going to be too big of a PR hurdle to continue as a coach. I think it's going to be too big of a hurdle to recruit and to sell this program because you're selling yourself and what you stand up for and what you believe. And we're going to take in your son and we're going to teach them right from wrong. How can you do that with a straight face? You can't. Once you've taken this step, and you're caught, you're exposed, it's just not possible to go back. It's not possible to put the genie in the bottle. But it is a lesson. It is a lesson that if you hear something, you know something. The truth, I don't want to be biblical, the truth will set you free. The truth is something that people will understand, may get frustrated by the truth and the decision that you made, but they'll get over it and they'll respect it. The truth does really set you free. The truth will allow you to survive and move on. The cover-up of the truth, in order to save and protect your lie that you perpetuate as the truth, that usually gets you. But we're seeing more and more people try to do that. Why? Well, I don't know. I guess you look at our government officials. They always go to lying and always blame the messenger and this and that. I think that's contributed to a lot of that. I think in a lot of ways, I've noticed working around coaches that a lot of coaches don't get into coaching for the right reasons. They don't get into coaching for the reasons that I grew up. They don't enjoy coaching. They enjoy being a coach. They enjoy the status that comes with it. The labels. The trappings that come with it. The celebrity. And the power. And power Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The power is something that you must handle with respect, and you truly know what a person's character is when they've got power over someone, how they treat other people, how they handle situations. It's not about just who plays on Saturdays, who makes a team and who doesn't, who you discipline, who you don't. But it's about character. And always remember, while reputations are important, it's character that matters. Because reputation is merely what others think you are. Character is who you truly are. So I think if everyone kind of looked at it, and I'm speaking to coaches here, that do the right thing. Do what you think is right. Own up to it. You can survive that. Try to cover it up. You will be caught eventually, and you will go down. And I think it's brought down many of successful people in different industries, certainly in coaching. And so we will wait and see the end result of this as it relates to Ohio State football. How it relates societally will probably take a longer winding turn. But for Ohio State football, I know the fans are upset. And it's typical. Blame the messengers. Oh, it couldn't have been. You know, you ruined my football program. You know, your son writes graffiti on the school building. Oh, it's a prank and shame on them. And, you know, the kids will be kids. But let the neighbor's kids do it, and they should be expelled. So, you know, I don't want to come at this from a fan standpoint and say that the fans are supporting Urban Meyer in this as innocent and a victim. That's blind stupidity. Because they just want the success that he brings with it, and they don't care about what happens in the wake. That's what they're saying. But let me also tell you that those of you that are looking at it as, good, I hope he gets it gone, and I get some of that, you're no better than they are. Because now I flip it to you. Your program, wherever it is around the country, this happens to your coach. You're going to be the one that's going to be excusing his behavior, but you're going to want to see Urban Meyer go down. The point is this is bigger than fandom. This is bigger than my program needs this or that. My program is winning, and this brings us down. And no one, if this goes the direction of Urban Meyer no longer being the coach at Ohio State, there's only one person to blame for it, and it's Urban Meyer. Were there other enablers? Were there assistant coaches? Were there assistant coaches' wives? Were there the head coach's wife? Were there athletic directors, assistant ADs, other administrators that were culpable and maybe should pay for it as well? Perhaps. Depends on what they knew. When did they know it? What did they do? What did they did not do? But this all stems from one thing. Someone that should not have been working at Ohio State, and Zach Smith. Someone that should have been helped. You believe in Zach, you find a way to help him. People have asked me, well, Chris, what have you done? Well, let me tell you what I would have done. I would have taken Zach at the early ages when he was at Florida, and this happened. Okay. If I'm in a position to help, Earl Bruce is in a position to help, he's my mentor, I'm going to make sure that he and his wife get the help that they need. And he doesn't touch his wife again. And I simply say, you're not working on my staff. I'll get you a job somewhere, and you're going to work, and I'm going to help support out of my pocket your wife and your kids while you get the help. And if anything ever happens like this again, I'll be the one that'll send your ass to jail and do everything I can to help you. And then we'll do what we can to help your wife and kids move on without you. I think if you don't do things like that to a player, to a coach, if you don't handle it that way, all you're doing is enabling people. You just basically giving them a reason to say, it's going to be handled. I can do what I need to do. I think that there are people that have emotional issues that need help. They need the help. They need someone that can get them through this, whatever caused them to do that. But there is no way that putting your hands on a woman is ever right. It's never right. So as we move forward and see, we'll find out pretty quickly. I think this is going to move quickly, but again, not in any way to hurt the efforts of getting it done correctly and legally, because this is sensitive. This is going to be about this, you know, there's talk about put on a main administrative leave for an investigation. Well, folks, the investigation's been taking place. They're not starting the investigation. There may be a new mechanics to this investigation that will add to it and corroborate what they know, correct some of the things that they found out, and then move forward. But the answer to the question of how long this is going to wrap up, yeah, from a PR standpoint, it needs to be handled pretty soon. But from a legal standpoint, there's going to be enough time put into it to make sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Then I think we're going to get the termination with cause. Or, if it's not that, it's going to be some sort of a elaborate PR move to try to save him, in which case, as I said several times on this podcast, it's going to be very difficult to sell at this point. Very tough to do a podcast like this. I enjoy the football parts of things. I enjoy helping coaches, helping them become better coaches, teaching football, speaking at clinics, and helping to grow the game. I don't like talking about things that are ugly, but I know that we have to. I know that's a part of it. Exposing things that are done poorly administratively is a part of what ultimately turns out on the field and how we determine who coaches our teams and who administrates our programs. I don't think this is a reflection of Ohio State or that great football program or their fans. I've heard that Ohio State fans are embarrassed. If you're an Ohio State fan, you shouldn't be embarrassed. If nothing to be embarrassed about, you weren't involved in that. Now, you should be embarrassed if you're trying to justify in order to keep your coach in place, or if you think he's been railroaded. Why would anybody railroad Urban Meyer? Because he's maybe been a jerk to people? So what? You know how many people have been a jerk? You know how many people, Nick Saban's been a jerk to, Bill Belichick, or any of the people? You can't tear somebody down because you don't like them. They have to do something to warrant it. And it's happened here. So, you know, again, a lesson to us all is fans, Ohio State, you'll recover, you'll grow from this, but it's tough. It's tough to talk about a situation that's so difficult, and particularly when you know the person as well as I do, as I do a lot of these guys. But this happens. This happens a lot with players and coaches where, if you enable, and I do think that there could be more than just Urban Meyer at stake here. I think that if it wasn't a case of Urban being so closely tied to Zach, there would be more of a potential for having Gene Smith be the fall guy. I think there's some people that are going to be involved in this that are going to take a hit. Because the almighty program, like at Penn State, where they tried to cover up and protect something heinous to salvage the reputation of the program and the image of the program, it really makes it look worse. And I think this is on a different issue, but something that is very ugly in its own right is where we're headed and ultimately going to lead to decision. So we shall wait, and we'll keep you up to date on any information that we have at LandryFootball.com. A reminder, as we have done all summer, our summer savings special is still available to you just for a little bit longer, just another week or so. You get 50% off any membership package by using the coupon code SUMMER. So do it today. You have the football season for half price. Great opportunity. Folks, it's going back to the regular price. You want to have access to all the film grade breakdowns, everything that we have for you at LandryFootball.com. You like football, you love LandryFootball.com. We try to bring you issues like this when to give you some information that some details that you don't have that you're going to get not get in other places. That's what we try to do for you. We certainly like to focus on the football part. But situations like this are unavoidable, so we appreciate your time, your listening. We'll get to your questions. We'll get to the AFC North. We'll get to the Pac-12. We'll get to everything coming on Tuesday on the next edition of the Landry Football Podcast on LandryFootball.com. Have a great weekend, everybody, and keep it to LandryFootball.com on all the latest on Ohio State. Follow me on Twitter at LandryFootball, the latest at Ohio State, as well as everything going on around the world of college football and the NFL. Talk to you next time, everybody.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
This is an Ian Beckles Flavor in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
Jameis is very well taught of how to back out of a question. He's very well taught. He didn't say anything wrong. He didn't say anything scathing. He didn't say anything that was going to get him in trouble. When you apologize, you admit to doing something. But I just don't know what Jameis is admitting to doing. All I do know is that he's suspended for 3 games, should have been 6, took 3. Listen, the NFL and Jameis Winston and his party, they did what's best for everybody. And he's going to be sitting, watching for the first 3 weeks. If you don't think that's a big deal, you know, the first day of practice, you go out there and, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is the one out there taking all the number one reps. You don't have to look too far back in the history of Buccaneer football to find a quarterback fall off a ledge after being on the pinnacle, and that's Josh Freeman. I mean, Josh Freeman was the man. There was a time where you probably wouldn't have traded Josh Freeman for any other quarterback in the league because of his potential. So Jameis Winston, you know, as an NFL football player, is not out of any kind of water, because you mess around and Ryan Fitzpatrick plays okay in the first 3 games. Say they go 2-1 or 1-2 and Ryan Fitzpatrick plays okay. Then Jameis comes in week 4 and 5 and plays poorly in 2 weeks. For the first time in his career, he'll sit his ass on the bench, because Dirk Cutter and Jason Light, they don't have time to mess around anymore.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.